We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This weekend, I was forced to umpire in the baseball league I run, and it's tough. It is not easy calling balls and strikes. And after I was done, I said it would have been so much easier if I had an iPad in front of me that showed me this is a ball or this is a strike. And so I'm all in on the robo-ump, but I read our next guest's article, which I just retweeted at Evan Roberts, WFAN. I read Scott Miller's article, does a great job with Bleacher Report, MLB columnist, and then it gave me pause that we are not ready for the robo-ump. So I was all in, and then I got nervous. Scott, Evan Roberts, I appreciate you coming on. How are you today?
Real good, Evan. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right, but I learned so much from what you wrote, because I think the stereotype in my brain was we all have the MLB app and we can see the strike zone, right? Sometimes we watch the game. We see the pitch tracker. We
right.
see that's a strike. That's a ball. Wow, this is easy. And so I guess I envisioned a world in which the umpire has that. And so they can look and say, okay, this is clearly out of the strike zone. That's a ball. You described a much different scenario. So for all of us who haven't read your article yet, how does it work in the Atlantic League with the umpire getting the calls from the robo-ump?
Yeah, and the first thing, I think people hear about robo-umps, and I guess the first thing is to say, while it would be infinitely more entertaining if an actual robot was behind the plate, that's not the case. It is still a human being, but it's it's a system of lasers, you know, almost like the TrackMan, you know, the system at StatCast, you know, where on the MLB app or wherever you can see all kinds of different numbers. Well, it's lasers measure the strike zone, right? So
right.
You've got a human being behind where the normal plate umpire is, only he's got an earpiece in his ear, and so the pitch comes over the plate, and the computer from the lasers tells him, he gets a voice in his earpiece that says strike, ball, or no track. And no track means, for whatever reason, the pitch escaped the laser, and then all of a sudden the umpire's on the spot. He's got to still call ball or strike without the help of the electronic strike. So now that, in a perfect world, should never happen or happen very, very infrequently. So that's that component of it. Now, they say each player will have his strike zone will be logged in the computer. So that's, I think, one thing. When we're watching games on TV, you know, the strike zone box is about the same size, and whoever steps in it, it never seems to adjust. Whereas the way the electronic strike zone works, say Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve were playing in the Atlantic League right now, well, the lasers would, you know, measure from, you know, the bottom of the chest to the top of the knees. It's obviously this east to west, it's 17 inches across the plate. But what happens is those individual player strike zones would get banked into the system so that the next time Aaron Judge came up or whoever it is, that, you know, whoever's at the computer would just put the name in and the strike zone would automatically, appear, and the lasers would do their thing. They've had some setbacks. It was supposed to start in April, and it took a long time for the Atlantic League to calibrate, as you can imagine, because the system's got to be in every single ballpark. It's got to be just down to the nines. And one thing I found entertaining, to a degree, one of the latest delays—it's just about ready to go now—but one of the latest delays involved one thing they learned, because there's got to be Wi-Fi for, you know, all this to work,
right,
and for the call to go in the umpire's ear. One of the latest things they learned, they needed to go back to each park and put in extended Wi-Fi, because
sure,
the home plate umpire roams around, right?
He's right
at times roaming out of range of the Wi-Fi.
So, you know, I'm envisioning this, and the vision of it doesn't look any different, right? Because it's an umpire, he's behind home plate, and all he has is an earpiece, and he's just being told ball or strike, or as you described, no pitch. So he's not holding any equipment. So it looks from us as fans, and if we were watching on TV, as nothing's different other than the fact he's got an earpiece in his ear, right?
Right. It looks the same, but the weird thing is, because you're right, you think it's like, oh, it's like almost a vacation day now for the home. It's gone for home plate umpires, gone from having the hardest job of the four umpires to almost a vacation day. But it's not quite that, because I should also say, in addition to every now and then, if he gets it in his ear, no track, and so he's got to be alert.
Got a call, right?
Call. But the other thing, don't forget. So, say there's a pitch 2 inches outside the strike zone, close to the plate, but 2 inches out. Goes into the umpire's ear. That's a ball. But the batter starts to swing, the old famous check swing, right?
Right.
So, because it's close enough to the strike zone, but he holds up. Okay, in his ear, the electronic strike zone says that's a ball. But the umpire's got to be on it enough to judge, did this guy offer at the pitch or did he hold up in time?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's still important aspects of it where the swing, the check swing, like you mentioned, the foul tip, was it tipped?
Yep.
Did he miss
it?
The play at the plate, obviously. Did it hit the batter? There are a lot of things. Here's the, I guess the part of me in my simplistic view that I have an issue with is that the umpire is being told if it's a ball or strike. I guess I like the idea of the umpire does have an iPad in front of him, and he's looking at where the ball crossed the plate with that graphic that we look at home. Is that not a good way to
do it? That's off to the side. I mean, he doesn't wait and look at the iPad before making the call, because that's the other thing, too, is, you know, he's just listening, you know, getting the information in his ear, and the rest of the stuff is off to the side, because the other thing is there also are times when, you know, he still doesn't have time. He's got to go with what the computer says in his ear versus taking an extra few seconds to look at an iPad. Because another example, runner on first base breaks to steal second. There's still the split-second decisions that need to be made. He can't delay too long in calling a ball or strike because, you know, the catcher's up throwing to second trying to nail the runner. And, you know, you can't wait till the runner's three quarters of the way to second before you say, sorry, that was strike three.
Yeah. How much confidence would Major League Baseball have in the efficiency of it before they ever used it in a real game? Because like you said, the no track should never happen. So are we even close to the day where Major League Baseball says, hey, this is the future. This is how we're going to call balls and strikes.
Yeah, I think closer. But, yeah, I wouldn't say close. I mean, you're right. It especially, I mean, can you imagine if they put this system in and say, you know, we're all watching some national game, say the Sunday night game or a playoff game, and all of a sudden, like, something went haywire and there was a big delay. I mean, they'd look like a bunch of fools. So I think it's definitely a system to take seriously. And it, by that, I mean, it could show up in the majors. You know, nobody's put a time frame on it yet, but just say for the sake of this discussion, if they're going to test it in the Atlantic League this year, all of that has to be just right. And if, you know, maybe they test again next year, but if they see what they like, they'll test it in the minor leagues.
Right.
And then if all that goes, then I do think, you know, whatever, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, we could see it in the majors. I part of it, I think, is this. The Atlantic League signed a 3-year working agreement with Major League Baseball to kind of serve almost as their research and development laboratory, because I'm sure, Evan, you've seen there's some other crazy rules that they're trying.
Yeah.
But the strike zone is the big one, because Major League Baseball has put a lot of time and effort and manpower and money into this. This isn't something the Atlantic League is just footing the bill for and saying, hey, let's be goofy and try this out. I mean, MLB has dumped a bunch of money and time into this, and MLB personnel is coming to all the Atlantic League ballparks to oversee the installation, to see how it's working. So I think, you know, it is very realistic that we see it in Major League Baseball one day in the somewhat near future, because otherwise MLB would, you know, they're not going to just waste
right.
a bunch of man hours and
right.
money.
Yeah, no, they're spending the money. They're doing the research for the end game being it'll eventually be in the majors. What I found interesting, we're talking to Scott Miller in your article, is how there are a lot of players that are very anti it. You know, Jay Happ was one of
yeah.
them. He's not in favor of it. You know, he's not a big fan. Brandon Crawford was another guy you quoted. Is this something where you can easily change their opinions? If you just show the players that it works and that they're better than regular umpires, that convincing the players that they should be on board with this will be an easy thing for Major League Baseball?
I think going back to what we just talked about a minute ago about the testing, if the testing gets to the point where they work out the bugs and it's becomes like 99.9% accurate. I mean, the current umpires' home plate ball strike calls, believe it or not, are, you know, high 90s. They're about 97% on target. You know, obviously they miss a number. And over the course of the season, sure, they miss a lot of pitches. But, you know, it might not be as many as people think. I mean, I think this would have to be – this electronic strike zone would have to perform significantly better than the plate umpires currently are doing. And, you know, I mean, if they get it calibrated to where they think they can, it probably would perform better. And then if it does and the tests all go, they get the bugs worked out, then they show the players, like, look, we're getting close to installing this thing. I think they would definitely have to show the players, this is how it works. This is why we're doing it. And this is how the tests have gone. We've gotten this thing down to where it's about 99.9% accurate. I think if that's the case,
right,
then, you know, because the players, like most of us, right, we're all in the beginning, we're a little reluctant to accept changes because, you know, there's always that fear of the unknown. Wherever we are, we kind of like what we have right now and what we're doing. And then somebody says, well, no, let's do this or do it this way. The first thing is to question that. But, you know, what I found interesting, Evan, is to the players, you know, some players said they'd be on board, some not. Well, one of the big questions is, okay, if there is an electronic strike zone, who would it benefit more, pitchers or hitters?
Scott,
yeah,
I was just thinking that. I was going to ask you that question because I've had this debate with my producer, Ernie, and he seems to think, and I kind of agree with him, that it's going to help the hitter because for years and years, the pitcher, and not that they cheat, but, you know, they hit the catcher's target, they get a cheap strike, you know? Greg Maddux,
yeah,
you know, inches off the plate, get a strike. If there really is a uniform strike zone and hitters are studying it and they know it like the back of their hand, I think they'll do a better job of laying off pitches that aren't strikes, especially since there won't be any inconsistencies anymore. Right now, the umpiring strike zone is different from person to person, so I think it would be the hitter that benefits. What about you?
I think... It can go it can go in both directions, and here's part of what I mean. And again, it's what makes the subject so interesting. Talking with Max Scherzer, you know, Max told me he thinks in a way it could help the hitters. To your point, because of what one thing it would do. All this talk we hear about, oh, which catchers are the best at pitch framing?
Right, right.
It would knock pitch framing right out of the game because
there's
no need to try to frame pitches, which is, in other words, a polite way of saying steal strikes, because, you know, you can't move your glove an inch and fool the umpire because the lasers are calling the strikes. So one of Scherzer's things, it would eliminate pitch framing, and as consequently, he's worried about the running game, which already is on life support in baseball. You don't have the stolen bases and the, you know, hit and runs like we once did. So his point also is, if you take away pitch framing, now you've got a guy on first and it's a stolen base situation. Well, the catcher can almost cheat like a hitter does. He can set up ready to cock and throw. Because he doesn't have to worry about receiving the pitch and making it look like a strike. So there's that. That part all could benefit the hitter. Now, where it could benefit the pitcher, Most people I talk to say, especially the 12-6 big breaking curveball, that pitch they think is going to be problematic for the electronic strike zone, because as it goes, breaks from 12-6, many of these pitches are going to clip the very front edge of the electronic strike zone and register as a strike, but then bounce in the dirt, possibly even bounce on the plate. Those pitches normally now are called balls, but if it clips the very front edge of the strike zone and then drops into the dirt, most people think that pitch is unhittable, yet it could register as a strike. So you could see many more pitchers trying to incorporate the 12-6 curveball.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Corey Kluber, two-time Cy Young winner, is one gentleman that believes that. And here's where it gets kind of weird. He firmly, he was one that broached that theory to me. But yet, so you would think as a pitcher, he'd be like, can we have this electronic strike zone starting tomorrow?
Yeah.
But instead, he was against it. He told me he didn't want it. I said, you got to be kidding me. If you think it benefits pitchers, he was just, there's just too much too much technology. I like the human element. I even at that, I don't think this is a good idea. So people are all over the map.
Yeah. It's so different. It's so weird. And I don't look at it as, I'm a traditionalist, I think. I think for the most part, I'm a traditionalist. But I don't look at this as changing the game in a drastic way. I look at it as we're getting the calls right. That's all we're trying to do. We're not changing the rules of the game. Some of their rule ideas are changing the game. The three-batter minimum changes the game. Stealing, quote-unquote, first base does change the game. This doesn't change the game. What it does is it tries to get the calls more consistently and correct. And I don't necessarily think umpires are worse today than they ever were. I think our technology is better. So we sit at home watching a game with our MLB app. We see the strike zone. Some broadcasts have the strike zone on the television. So we all see the missed calls more than we ever would have 25 years ago.
We do. That part is, I think, absolutely true. And then add into what you just said, one executive who was speaking anonymously to me, but one of his points, because he's in favor of the electronic strike zone. So tying in with what you just said about with watching games on TV, we all see the missed calls more. His point too, in favoring the electronic strike zone, is he thinks where the game's at now, high velocity, you've got guys coming in throwing 98, 100, 101. Then you've got guys that throw, change-ups and breaking balls. And, you go from 70 miles an hour, one pitch, to 100 the next. He thinks catching and umpiring both are more difficult than they've ever been in this game for velocity reasons, like I just said, and all the different pitches that are thrown, but also because we're in the era now where you have each team ends up throwing about six pitchers a game, that's an exaggeration, but the average right now is the highest it's ever been, 4.3 pitchers a game per team or something like that. So if you've got a starting pitcher, it goes five innings, then you bring in a guy to throw the next two, then you bring in a third guy and a fourth guy, maybe a fifth guy. Both the catchers and umpires have to continue to adjust. And the home plate umpire's got to adjust for both teams. So he may be seeing 10 or 12 pitchers a game with all kinds of different pitches and pitches now going up to 100 miles an hour where they didn't used to. So it's just physically, it's hugely more challenging on the eyes and the eyes and the hand-eye coordination and the brain to register all this.
Yeah. Of the other changes that they're trying in the Atlantic League, which do you think comes to Major League Baseball first?
Well, you mentioned the three-batter minimum for a pitcher. I do think that, Commissioner Manfred's talked about that, and I think that one is right now going to be implemented next year.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. The one rule they're working with that got a lot of publicity in the last couple of days because it just happened for the first time. I think they incorporated it for the second half of the season. That's the one where the batter can steal first base. I don't see that ever happening. I think that's way too weird. And for people that might have missed that, in the Atlantic League, one rule they're experimenting with is, as I just said, a batter can steal first base. You might say, well, how does that happen? Well, during the at-bat, if there's a wild pitch, the batter can make a quick judgment. Boom! I'm going to run to first on the wild pitch, and it could be a first pitch of the at bat, ball one. But if it's a wild enough pitch, he could end up on first base. I think traditionalists and baseball people will totally rebel against that one. I don't see how that one's
well,
ever
it's,
gonna,
you know,
I think that's too easy.
It's pointless is the way I look at it. And first of all, it's not a steal of first base. I know that's how we all refer to it. It's just getting to first base on a wild pitch or a pass ball. It's the same thing as a strikeout, except you get the option of doing it earlier. It just, when I heard it and I read about it, my reaction is that's pointless. Why? What is the thinking behind something like that?
Right. Exactly. And I totally agree with you on that. So that's one that they're implementing this year that I don't ever see. The other one they're implementing that, is going to be very interesting to watch is having to do with the shift where they, two infielders have to stay on one side of second base, two on the other, like a traditional first baseman, second baseman, shortstop, third baseman. You can deploy them wherever you want as long as the two guys on the left side of the infield stay somewhere on the left side of the infield and likewise on the right side of the infield. So, that one, we hear so much today about, the shift is just taking away hits. Last year was the first time ever in a game where there were more strikeouts than singles, the singles disappearing with launch angle and with the shift and things like that. Manfred at times has talked, he's at least floated, we may have to look at the shift eventually. That's one that I think eventually we could see in the major leagues. We're, like I say, almost like you draw a line from home plate
right
through the diamond all the way to center field, and then you keep your infielders on each side of that.
Yeah, interesting. Scott, really well done article. I tweeted it out for people to check out about the Robo Ump, and I appreciate you coming on today.
Enjoyed our conversation, Evan.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate that.
You got it. Scott Miller, national MLB columnist for Bleacher Report and Turner Sports. I tweeted out before he wrote an article about the Robo Ump because I stereotyped what it would actually look like as compared to what it actually is. And all it is you've got a guy behind the plate, as he described, with an earpiece in. He's got one of those Apple AirPods. I have them. They're great. And he's being told, strike ball. No pitch. Couldn't see it. Strike ball. That's it. I envisioned, I'm standing there with an iPad. I see if it hit the strike zone or not, and then I make the decision. Yep, that's a strike. But that's not what they're playing with in the Atlantic League.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.